Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time. And for today's show, we're going to be talking about inner healing and inner freedom. So please feel free to participate or just listen. And so I'd like to introduce Kat and ask Kat, how are you tonight?
Hi, I'm great, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great, too. I feel recharged, thank you. So,
yeah, that's
we were just having a little chat before the show, and we both have had eventful weeks and are raring and ready to go. So, would you like to start off sharing, Kat, or do you want me to?
No, tell me what you think about inner peace and inner freedom.
Well, I think that we all need to do some work with inner healing. None of us escapes childhood without hurts. And I believe it's important to discharge those hurts in order to find freedom and to find healing. I was Googling inner healing, and it's interesting because there's a movement that is Christian-based, and that's not what we're talking about tonight, folks. We're talking about healing whatever ails you, and not with regard to any religious program. But the one site that I read, talked about how there's some signs that you may need inner healing. And so I just thought I would go over those signs because I thought they were interesting. And some of them I didn't think of myself. One of them is if you find yourself easily emotionally triggered, that's a sign that you may be in need of inner healing. Another one is overreacting to people and projecting feelings of others. And holding grudges is a big one. That's certainly one that I had thought of before. A lot of people replay past events, too, and that can lead to resentments. If you feel stuck about something, if you're angry about something that you're holding on to, that's a sign that you need inner healing. If you find yourself feeling insecure most of the time, that certainly is a sign that you need inner healing. And if you have ongoing relationship issues, that's another sign. And then recurrent depression, that can be a sign too. And I hadn't thought of that, but that's been something that's been a factor in my life. And I'll just briefly share that while I had essentially loving family and happy childhood, there were some things that happened to me in my past that were dark in nature, and I'm not really going to go into those things now. It's just that what happened to me as I grew older was I became subject to recurring depressions that haunted me for 15 years until I finally received a diagnosis where I received medicine that was very helpful, and I haven't had problems with it since then, other than at a very minor level. But, you know, folks, the important thing to remember is that there is always hope at the end of every tunnel, that there's always room for healing whatever ails you, and that you need to take responsibility for that if you're going to find yourself moving in a positive direction, and that's what it's all about. What do you think, Kat, about inner healing?
I like that list that you talked about. You know, it's in a lot of ways it's quite profound to really think about it. And, you know, we could probably sit here and brainstorm multiple other reasons why you would need inner healing, but inner turmoil is the, no matter where it is, it's the reason, you know. You may feel like you've got a block, and the block will be, I can go this far, but, you know, I take 3 steps forward and 2 steps back. Why do I always take the 2 steps back? There's a block there. There's something going on within your subconscious that's blocking you, and you need to explore that, understand it, acknowledge it, and release it. When you understand it, acknowledge it, and release it, you may have a release of water. That could be tears, but it could be urine. It could be sweat, but it's usually a release of water. And a big reason why that happens is because water holds emotions. Water is a container for emotions. When we look at dreams and we interpret dreams, we know that if somebody dreams of water, they are dreaming about their emotions. I used to have a recurrent dream that I'd go somewhere and there'd be aquariums set up, and I'd be saving fish that had jumped out of the aquariums and putting them back in the water. And for years I didn't understand what that was, but it was my own self needing to save myself. The water had become hostile and the fish couldn't be in there anymore, and it was because the water was full of emotions that were toxic. So the fish were jumping out and now I was coming along and putting them back in. So I was actually putting myself back into those emotional experiences. Once I began my inner healing journey, the recurrent dreams stopped. And that journey continues. I think that it's a multiple lifetime journey. I don't believe that it starts and stops with one lifetime. And as we've discussed in previous episodes, human beings have been pretty horrible to each other for a long, long time. So that means that you will have in your emotional body multiple lifetimes of healing to be done. But the good news is that the more you progress through it, the easier things become for you. So I've had plenty of people say to me, oh, this is it, I'm not reincarnating again, I'm not coming back, this place is hell, I've had enough. What they've had enough of is the emotional experience, the draining pain of the emotional experience, of the karma that they've had to burn and the self-sacrifice they've had to make so that someone else can burn theirs. But it evens out and you begin to get clarity, and that is when you start to get that inner freedom. And that there is the greatest gift that you can receive of anything. There is no physical object that is greater than the feeling of inner freedom. What do you think, David?
Well, I agree. One of the things that I think is important is to take charge of your life, take responsibility for it. And when you can do that, then you feel free. It's important for me to act rather than react. I think that by nature, we all tend to react to our circumstances, and if we're really present and take charge of our own lives, we recognize that whenever somebody else is giving us a situation where we might feel provoked, that it's their stuff that's coming out, and we don't need to take that on. It's important to just take a step back if need be, or to take charge of the situation and present whatever your feelings are, to certainly not take any abuse from anybody. And I think it's really important. I'm laughing because my mother used to talk about what will the neighbors think. I think it's really important to not worry about what other people think. If you're going to be free, you need to just stay in the moment and take charge of your own life and stop worrying so much. That's where freedom comes in. I liked what you were saying about the multiple lifetime experience, because a lot of us may not be aware that that's a factor in the karma that we've created that's carried over from another life, or the karma that we're creating in this life that we're not taking responsibility for. And I think it's almost natural when you were talking about taking those two steps back. I think that's part of the human condition, but we can keep moving forward. That's the important thing to focus on, is that it's all about forward movement and not getting stuck, not staying attached to the past, not projecting, just staying in the moment, and that's where my freedom comes from. Do you have anything to say about
that? Yeah, I agree. Mindfulness, being in the now, it's highly important to become awake and aware to that, and to fill your consciousness with noticing the beauty that's around you and noticing the truth of the moment that you're in, and no matter what the moment is. I mean, it's not all going to be easy. You know, people die. You may have to have a moment where you're saying goodbye to someone you love, or a pet that you love, or there may be some developers who come through and chop down a beloved tree that you used to climb as a child. Grief is a pain. It's a real pain. But you've got to be in that moment. And it's normal. It's a normal feeling, and it's not a feeling to be frightened of. It's a feeling to release. So you can have inner freedom even though you're going through these horrible things. Inner freedom doesn't come only when everything's good and easy and flowing. Inner freedom also comes when things are hard. Because you have that feeling of inner freedom, you don't hold on to the pain. You let it charge through you like a freight train. You let it keep going. And I mean, that freight train might be multiple kilometers or miles long, but you let it go. You feel it go over every track, every wheel, but you keep it moving. And eventually, you stop having the raw experience of it, and you feel the vibration on the tracks, and you hear it. And then eventually, you stop being able to hear it, and you still feel the vibration of it. And then eventually, what you're left with is the memory of it, the knowledge that it happened, but the ability to continue to move forward. And that is a strength, but it is a freedom within you. And then that can turn back into joy, because you no longer have any raw experience, but you have the memory of all the good times and the joy that you were there, that you had that person or that pet or that tree or whatever it was. You had it in your life, and it was part of you. It is part of you. And inner peace is, you know, there's a law, hermetic law of ebb and flow. So I've heard a lot of different ways of thinking about inner peace, but I know that there is an ebb and flow, just as there is with the ocean, there is within the currency of the body. You know, we have biorhythms, and that goes for all of the body's that we occupy, the physical, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual, the causal, we have an ebb and flow in our energies and in our feelings, where we're going to find the peace is in that center. If you imagine a pendulum, it swings to one end and then to the other, but there's a momentary pause at the center. It's brief, it's momentary, it's very difficult to notice it unless you really focus, but it's there. And that there is a point of peace. It's that anchoring yourself in the know that you were talking about, David. And Babaji, the great ascended master, Babaji, teaches this in Kriya Yoga. So when we do the deep breathing, we breathe in, for example, we may breathe in for 8 seconds and then hold for 8 and then breathe out. It's that moment of holding. You can't hold on to it forever because the breath is, it's life, it's a spirit, it's life force. But it's in that moment of surrender where you are in between the ebb and the flow, in that centeredness. That is where the greatest peace lies. And when you dive into that, when you start to just focus your mind on that, that is also where the door to inner freedom begins to open. What do you think, David?
Well, I love some of your metaphors, the freight train and the ebb and flow of the ocean. I once had a friend that talked about dealing with emotions as if you're on a surfboard and just surfing through the feelings. I mean, it's important to experience them and let them go. And a lot of people stay stuck because they stuff their feelings or act them out. And then they're not really being authentic to the human experience because we are comprised of feelings and they're perfectly okay. And yes, as you were saying, Kat, some of them are very painful, especially feelings of grief. And a lot of people, when they experience something like that, they become scared of the feelings just sweeping them away. And so they'll stuff them or they'll act them out in some way. There are all kinds of different activities, compulsive activities that we can get involved with to try to escape our feelings and make ourselves feel better. But those feelings are still going to be buried deep within inside of us. And unless we get to the core of them and experience them, they're going to be damaging to us at some level. And we're not going to be experiencing what we've come here to experience. And whatever you try to escape is going to return to you again, if not in this life, in the next. And every opportunity that comes along, every experience that comes along, rather, is a learning opportunity. And I would like to say that we have a couple of callers, and we're grateful that you're with us tonight, and you're welcome to just continue to listen. But at some point, I am going to come to you just in case there's something that you would like to share. And so please don't be frightened if I do tune in on you. So I lost the thread, Kat. Can you pick it up?
Sorry, I was focusing on you, and then you jumped to the callers, and so I was focusing on that.
Yeah. Well, I was talking about stuffing and acting out feelings.
That's right. Yeah. So maybe we're taught to do that. I don't know about other cultures, but in the Western culture, often people do it. And it does lead to a lot of out-of-control behavior. You know, it leads to guys making a big mess. you know, I mean, the women make a big mess too, but guys tend to make a big mess that ends up on TV, on the news. You know, like we had a fellow here in Australia recently. His girlfriend got pregnant. He tried to force her to have an abortion. She wouldn't. Then he tried to hurt her. She wouldn't let him do that. Somehow he got a hold of a gun. We don't have guns in the population unless you are a in deep crime. Your regular criminal won't have one. Your gun club dude will have one, and he can bring it home, but he's got to have it in a locked cabinet with there's a whole lot of regulations. And farmers can have them, but again, there's a whole lot of regulations as to how that's kept on the property. So to get a hold of one is pretty difficult. This dude got a hold of one. And I think he made a standoff with the cops. And he was all over the TV. And he just made himself look like a complete fool. And he's got himself into a sack of trouble. And it's all over an emotion. I don't know him personally, so I don't know where that emotion comes from. But from the outside, it's fear. Mm. It looks like he went into some sort of fear about becoming a parent. But as I said, I'm not going to pass judgment on him and on his life. But simply, this guy went to a lot of effort to attack and hurt and reject his child and the mother of his child. And that there is an example of a emotional body that has taken over the mind. So as the soul progresses, it doesn't instantly become this divine being. The soul, just as we all are, is born and must have multiple incarnations to learn and to grow. And it builds its thread of knowledge and understanding as it does that. And, you know, just as you go through grade levels at school, you go through multiple incarnations and through the different life force kingdoms as well until you get to human. And you're not just a soul that becomes human. You're a soul that has multiple lifetimes in many forms. You'll go through bacteria, you'll go through virus, you'll go through mineral, you'll go through plants, you'll go through animal, and you'll get to human. And then you have to learn how to become human. You don't just instantly, I've incarnated as a human, now I know how to be a human. Just as a child needs to learn how to look after his body, you need to learn to look after being a human. It's a long, long process. And the personality, which is the egoic aspect of the soul in the incarnation, is very much linked to the Maya, to the illusion of the physical world. And it will dominate. And it will dominate because of the emotional and the mental body. For multiple lifetimes, it can dominate. Until the personality begins to relent and start to say there's got to be something more. There's got to be something more. And it stops being exoteric. It stops looking outside of itself for all the answers. Mm. And it begins to start seeking them within. And then it starts to see its own soul and all that knowledge that the soul has built over all those lifetimes is sitting there with a massive bank of wisdom. Because even, you know, the life of a sloth, let's pick a sloth, for example, that creature builds knowledge in that life. And that it knows about what plants to eat, what plants not to eat, predators, friends, not good to, if I'm going to fall out of a tree, I shouldn't fall out of a tree over that plant or that body of water. Like it learns and it grows. All of that's built into the soul. So when the personality begins to relent and go within, it then starts to come into that place of peace and inner freedom that it will never have if it dominates the soul. So it's a dance until eventually the personality becomes the lesser, it becomes the backseat driver. You remain in the car, both of you, the soul and the personality. You're one and the same, but you're the lower self and the higher self. And as you become closer and closer to allowing the soul to be the dominant force in the lifetime, you begin to become more and more and more at peace, and life becomes easier and easier. You know, we still have challenges, but they won't be messy because you won't have that emotional body freaking out. You won't have all that mess anymore. It'll be cleaner. It'll be easier. You won't have the attraction of police. You won't have the attraction of other offenders coming to you and to, you know, pushing you to continue to offend. You won't have the attraction of mean people, of hurt that comes from others who are hurt. It falls away, and it falls away, and it falls away, and eventually you get to a point where the only people that are around you are those that are either there particularly to play out a drama or that are at peace themselves. And if they're there to play out a drama, that drama will play out the same way if the personality was dominant or not. If that drama is going to play out. The difference is when the soul is dominant, the personality gets to rest. It comes, it says, I'm in fear, it says, I have this issue, it says whatever it's going to say. The soul thinks, listens, and then chooses to respond. It doesn't react, and therefore the drama that plays out comes to a conclusion in a much more peaceful way, and everybody moves forward. So that sense of freedom that we all need and want, it goes hand in hand with allowing your soul to become the dominant force in your life. It's very difficult for somebody who's been in personality dominance to really grasp that, because we can't physically see this soul. How do we measure it? We don't have a scientific instrument. Materialistic people can't acknowledge a soul because they don't have a scientific method to acknowledge it. They just think that it is a fanciful idea, and that's good. That's where they're at, and that's good. But within yourself, when you go within, you find the answers crop up. You find the higher self tells you more, tells you more, tells you more, because it has so much wisdom. It has so much wisdom before it even got to the point of being able to incarnate as a human. It built up a massive amount of wisdom. Imagine how much wisdom you would have as multiple incarnations as an animal. And then you see these animals out there that are awake and aware. They're ready to incarnate as humans. There's animals in the wild that interact with humans and they are completely awake and aware of what they're doing. They're either a human that slipped back into animal life for whatever reason, or, you know, a soul, you know, I'm going to go back into that for a bit, or they're an animal life that the soul in that animal is ready. It's ready to make the next step. So when we find that inner freedom, the only way to find it is in emotional healing. And because the personality then does not have to dominate. And as we know, that personality is the infant self. And some people do it, but most rational-minded thinking people would never turn around to a 3 or 5 year old child and say, hey, you've got the responsibility of running the house. So we see a personality that is dominated by the ego as an infant, 7 and under, running an adult body. like just like that guy described, making a huge mess and not having that sense of control. And we must have compassion for that, because that's part of the journey and it's difficult. It's a difficult process to go through. It's not easy. And nobody is exempt from that. If you think of any ascended master in your knowledge bank of ascended masters, they will have all gone through it. They will have all had lifetimes where they made a freaking massive mess. They may have had multiple. Nobody's exempt from it. So we have compassion for ourselves and we have compassion for our brothers and sisters who go through it too. And that then it releases us too from the feeling of constriction that comes with anger towards others because they are having an experience. So therefore we have more freedom. Does that make sense, David?
Yeah.
I went on another tangent.
Boy, you know how I like to say you've stimulated all kinds of thoughts in me. I followed everything that you said, and you've tied a lot of nice threads together at so many different levels, and I'm not going to try to get into a lot of them, but some of the things that you've said more recently, I was thinking about the notion of compassion and how, as human beings, I think that's one of the greatest virtues that we can embody. And there are a lot of people out there, let's face it, that are hurting, that do need healing, and they need to talk. And I think that one of the greatest gifts that we can give to somebody is to just listen to them and let them discharge the poison that's inside of themselves, because unless you get it out, it's going to continue to taint you. And so if we can be an ear for that person, we don't have to give advice. All we have to do is listen. And if they ask for advice, we can offer whatever wisdom we might have gained along the way. I would like to go to the callers to see if they would like to participate in the discussion, since we're in the last half hour of the show. And area code 203 has been with us for most of the show, so I'm going to come to you and just ask if you'd like to share. And I'm going to ask your first name. And I've got you live. What is your first name, please?
Hi, this is Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. How are you tonight?
I'm okay. I was trying to listen to the show while cooking dinner and doing other things, so I was in and out, and so I don't know how much I can contribute to what you were saying.
Well, you can just take it from any standpoint that you want, along the lines of healing, inner healing, or inner freedom, whatever your thoughts might be, we'd welcome them.
Well, I guess I find, you have to, you know, honestly, you have to really try to heal yourself sometimes, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to solve all your problems either. And I've been trying to, like, change my life for a really long time. And it just seems like, you know, nothing happens, you know, and I can say, all right, I'll get involved in something I'm interested in. I'll try to, you know, do that. And those things are very short-lived, and I'm still lonely. You know, I'm still sitting here lonely, and that's, you know, my biggest complaint, that with all the people in the world, that I'm just sitting here lonely by myself most of the time. So, I mean, sometimes it's temporary, you know, you go out to something that you enjoy, but even then, you know, you don't communicate on a level where it resonates with you.
Mm. I get what you're saying, and I think loneliness is such an uncomfortable feeling, and the only thing that I was reflecting on as you were talking about is the importance of staying as connected as we can. And it seems that the society that we live in today is less cohesive, and that we don't come together as much as we used to, at least when I was younger. So I think that that can contribute to a sense of loneliness or isolation. And speaking for myself, I know it is so important for me to get out of myself, to stay connected to other people, and to seek out whatever stimulate me and take me out of that feeling. It's a valid feeling, and it's real. It doesn't feel comfortable, but I need to find release in some fashion or other, so that I don't remain isolated, so that I don't remain feeling lonely. And I don't know, Kat, is there anything you'd like to say about that?
I've gone through periods of extreme loneliness. I was quite bullied when I was a young person, and chose as a teenager to withdraw. I didn't feel happy really anywhere in my life at that time, but I became more and more reclusive. And as a result, in my 20s, I continued that pattern, and I became extremely painfully lonely. The way out of the loneliness for me was to choose activities that fed my soul, that made me feel really happy. One of those activities was joining karate, physical activity. The karate was for me because I wanted the skill of being able to defend myself, but I also liked that I could go do a class for an hour and burn 1,000 calories. And I grew up with three brothers, and as a consequence, always had male friends and felt, therefore, more comfortable around guys than around girls. So it was a place where I could connect with other people that I was comfortable to connect with. Platonically, I've never been somebody who's been promiscuous, so that I just want to clarify that, because people seem to immediately think if you're a female and you're mates with guys, then you must be promiscuous, and that just wasn't the case for me. So that worked, you know, going and doing exercise worked, and what it did was it made the endorphins flow. And I began to feel more comfortable within myself, and I started to like myself more, because the bullying had caused the self-rejection. And the consequential two relationships that I'd had in my 20s also kind of stuffed me up a bit in my view of myself. So I needed to have somewhere where I did well, and I progressed, and people were encouraging me. And, you know, that was by nature, you know, being around people who are like, you know, it's their job to make you happy, like a personal trainer. They'll say all the cliche words, you're awesome, you know, all of that stuff. But then at the end of it, you start to feel it within yourself, even if they, if they're ingenuous, it's, you've got that constant person saying, you're doing well, you're doing well, you're doing well. It starts to change your mindset about you. But most personal trainers are. They're just hyped up, happy people who really want to encourage others. So whether you go to a group of where you're all exercising and you're moving forward together, you know, there's like jazz dancing, and there's all dancing for adults. There's lots of different places you can go where you can move your body. I would recommend that. But then I'd also recommend coming home and doing something creative. Painting, flower arrangement, you know, gardening. Something where you're also thinking and connecting. But this time you're connecting within, you're going within and you're connecting within. So your outside connection is with positive-minded people, and then your inside connection becomes more positive as well through creativity. You stop feeling so lonely. You start to feel more positive about who you are.
Well, this all relates to back to lifestyle and living, you know, and that's why so many people always are struggling with their job and should I move, because where, you know, their living is not making them happy. I mean, simple things like what you talked about immediately brought to mind, yeah, I miss having that house where I had a garage. And in the evening, I can just pull out with my bicycle, take a quick bike ride around my nice suburban neighborhood, go plant something in my backyard, you know, beautification. These are all, you know, really things, I mean, that I really, really enjoy. Just these very simple things. And sledding in the winter time. And I have none of that. None of it. Don't have a backyard. Don't have a good place to go for a little bike ride. Not the way I want to do it. And no sledding, you know. So all of these contribute to more unhappiness. You know, maybe if I were in that better place, I'd want to invite people over, you know, and be more social, but I'm not. And yet I feel like, you know, I'm living the best I can in the area where I'm living right now because I don't like the area. But at least I'm safe, and I thank God every night to say, oh, thank God, it's so nice and quiet and I'm safe and I'm so lucky. But it's a big mess, you know. It's a big mess when you can't live the way you really need to live.
So then start journaling every night three things that are in the basic good that are around you. In that sense, you become more aware of what's good around you than what's difficult. Because whatever the circumstances are that brought you to wherever you are living now are what they are, and you're going to have to work your way out of them. But staying where you're in is just going to keep you sitting in a vacuum of mud. So it's an illusion that, and it's not a judgment, but all of where we're at is an illusion. And we have illusions within illusions within illusions because we are in our own mind, and we are a mind having a body, having an experience. So the way to break out of the illusion is to see the good. And you might write down, the basic good I see today is the floors, the walls, and when I look out the window, I can see the blue sky. That's enough. And then you continue to start to see more basic good, the color blue, a turtle in a pond, the fact that there's wood. You begin to see more and more and more basic good until all you notice is the good. You'll start to change your life by focusing on the good.
But that will never give me what I want, what my soul wants. That will never give me the way I want to live.
Set up goals.
Yeah.
Set goals. Have small goals. Work on them. Have your bigger goal in mind, but chunk it down into smaller and smaller goals, set goals, and achieve them. You've got a choice. You can stay where you're at, saying, or you can move forward.
Yeah, and that's, I guess, part of what I'm thinking, part of my plan is I've got to finish paying for my daughter's school. I want to keep my work in this area for a year and a half minimum, just to make sure she's paid for, and then I have the ability to do as I please, you know, take a job in an area where, you know, I don't have to be making extra money, all that extra money to pay for her. It's, you know, it's a year and a half away. But, yeah,
yeah,
I got to
so
get out of
so
here
bad.
In a year and a half.
So, and,
yeah,
and then
right?
once that's paid for, that extra money's for you. So you could start planning, well, I'd like to go on a holiday. You could start planning the day that you've paid off whatever the debt is that you have to pay off. And then from there on, it's savings. And you might say, well, you know, I've always wanted to go walk Machu Picchu, or I've always wanted to go do something interesting. Go. Set the goal. Make the savings happen. Say to yourself, 18 months, I've got this goal set, and I'm going to achieve it. And then in another 18 months, I'm going to go and do something for me. And in the meantime, fill your world with beauty. The loneliness is not being discounted. It's we are social creatures, and we need to feel connection. So the answer is to only seek connection from people who are positive. Only seeking connection from people who are positive. And you're going to get that from places where they are focused on being positive. So, you know, it might be a computer club, but don't engage in gossip afterwards. Don't, if somebody starts and they want to connect with you only through gossip, that's negative. That will drag you down.
I need
focus
to jump in for a minute if I can.
Positive.
I just wanted to jump in for a minute. We're short on time, and I wanted to go to the other caller, and I don't want to cut you short, Michelle. One of the things that we do, and thank you, Kat, for the concrete examples and suggestions you made. I think those are all great, and I love the gratitude that Michelle was referring to and the gratitude list that you were talking about. But we do welcome topics from callers. And would be happy, Michelle, if there's a topic you would like us to discuss next week, to let us know. And we'll do a show around that and another topic. We do two topics each week. Is there anything that you would like to have us talk about next week?
Well, I think it would be a really nice topic to talk about making new friends and how to go about doing that, and how to, you know, step by step, who, you know, what's the first move, you know. I mean, I think we all need a little instruction sometimes. When you get older, it's so hard to make friends.
Okay. Well, let's do that. Let's talk about making connections. How does that sound?
That sounds great.
Okay. We'll do that next week. Let me go to the other caller, and thank you so much for participating tonight, Michelle, and listening. Really appreciate it. I'm just going to touch base with the other caller, and we're going to end with a meditation. Please hang in there. And I'm going to go to area code 650 and see if there's anything you'd like to say. First, I'm going to ask you your first name. Hi, what is your name, please?
Hi, this is Laura.
Hi, Laura. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. Is there anything you'd like to say about inner freedom or inner healing?
I've been loving what you've been sharing so far. And what comes to my mind is while I'm in this journey of tuning in and really kind of peeling the layers of belief systems that have no longer higher purpose for my life or don't serve me anymore, there's a lot of agitation that comes with it, and finding that inner peace and balance can be a bit difficult, even though I know I'm living this illusionary world and it's the ego that's hurting, not my higher self. And then while I'm around people, family, who are associated with those pains, it's so easy to stay in the victim stage and kind of zooming out and trying to see it from a higher place. You know, it's no accident we reincarnated again together. But finding that inner peace while you're around people that could easily trigger you can be so destructive. You know, it's like I'm moving forward. I feel like I am moving forward in my spiritual path, and I'm kind of more tuning into myself and higher self, understanding myself. But when those moments happen, the impact is so strong, I feel like I'm pulled back to where I was. So the soul doesn't hurt, like you said. It's the ego, the physical self that hurts. And I don't know maybe if you can expand on this, on how, you know, to create that inner healing associated with relationships, family relationships that are around you, and you don't have the opportunity at the moment to move away physically.
Kat, would you like to take that for just a couple of minutes, if you have a response to that?
Yeah. The power of reflection and contemplation are really, those two things assist us in growing and understanding, so much so that we don't need to play things out in the physical if we do it a lot. If we get in the habit of reflecting, we're not brooding. We're not, you know, enumerating. We're reflecting and we're thinking and we're contemplating and we're getting little understandings, epiphanies because of that. And that's because we're tapping into our higher self and into the super consciousness. And in doing so, we may even begin to tap into the consciousness of another that a drama was played out with. And it may be years later that the penny drops and we get it. But we also do so, one of the reasons we have dreams is to play out the life, the awakened life, and to contemplate and reflect so that we can understand things there and we don't have to play it out in the physical. And we go over the awakened time that way. So I think what I'm understanding what you're saying is that you have people in your life and things that have happened, and you need to find peace within all of that. Is that correct?
I think what I want is peace within me and seeing it from a higher perspective.
Yeah.
And while I am going through, like, yeah, reflecting on this pain, that be able to see it from a neutral place and not be too emotionally triggered by them is what I think.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I needed to just touch base with that, so I'm sure I was talking about the right thing. Yeah. Reflection and contemplation will help you get there. Mm-hmm. Creative activity will also help you get there. No, outward expressions of religious or spiritual activity will get you so far, but in the end, really, it's the inner work that will get you to that peace that you're seeking. So reflection, contemplation, meditation, and if there's something like the other day I became aware of a block that I had. I became very, very aware of why I had the block and that the same experience that I had actually played out in my son's life. And so I became very aware of needing to help him to become at peace with that as well. I don't know how to clear the block. That I don't know. I can go to lots of people who are very well trained in healing and all sorts of healing modalities. Will I clear that block by going to someone else? Most likely not. I need to go within. I need to have it cleared within myself by reflection, contemplation, and getting into a place where I can accept what happened and I can become released from it. I need to be relieved and released, and I can only do that for myself because that drama played out a long time ago. And there's a very big, big difference between that and somebody in your life now who's toxic and you need them out. When they say they're gone, the relief, I mean, I had somebody who told me that they didn't want me in their life anymore, and they were expecting me to constantly clean up after them with their dramas, and I refused to do it. And when they were very upset with me because of it, I said, well, what do you want from me? And they said, nothing. And I absolutely felt a physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual relief. It was amazing. Yeah. So that feeling there.
I think we've lost Kat.
Hello? Yeah.
Can you hear me, Laura?
I can hear you, yes.
Laura, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Uh-oh.
Okay. No? This has happened before. Kat is in Australia, and I'm going to try calling her back, and I'm going to play a song while I do that, because I think you probably would enjoy hearing the rest of what she has to say.
Yeah.
I'd also invite you, if there's a topic you'd like us to discuss next week or the following week, to think of that, and we'll be glad to incorporate that into the show. Right now, I'm just going to place you on mute for a moment. Kat just contacted me via Facebook, and I'm going to call her back while I play a song by a New Thought singer by the name of Jennifer Farron called Throw It All Away. So please hang in there, Laura. Okay? Thank you. This is Throw It All Away by Jennifer Farron. Okay, that was part of Throw It All Away by Jennifer Farron. And I do have Kat back. And Kat just had a few more things she was going to say to you, Laura. And then I'll come back to you to see if there is a topic you would like to raise for a future show, possibly next week or the week after. So, Kat, go ahead and let me bring Laura back live.
All I was really saying was the way forward to finding peace within whatever's happened to you is through reflection, contemplation, and meditation. and creative activity. And through that you begin to process and you begin to release and you get that relief. And it's when it occurs, it's a wonderful magic. And the freedom that you have therefore is great. So I hope that helps.
Yeah, it did. Thank you.
Laura, did you think of a topic you'd like to have us discuss?
Somewhere along the lines of doing the work, but also knowing when it's time to surrender and trusting in divine timing.
Okay, let's see if I can boil that down.
Okay.
Let's see. How about... how about just surrender?
Yeah, that works.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we'll see if we can pair that. I think what we'll do is we'll do Michelle's topic next week and pair that with something that would go along those lines, and then we'll deal with surrender the following week. Does that sound reasonable?
Yes, it does.
Beautiful. I was going to invite Kat, who is a spiritual teacher, to tell us a little bit about her services, and then we're going to do a guided visualization, and then that will be it for the evening. So, Kat, if you'd like to talk about your services, now's the time.
Yeah, so you can find me at katedwardsclairvoyant.com. Kat is spelled with a C, C-A-T, and I offer spiritual guidance readings, which combine my education as a life coach, my education in business and nutrition, as well as my own hard-earned life education and my work with spirit, with my clairvoyancy and my mediumship. So it's a nice combination of everything. It's very practically focused, and I do specialize in helping people with their life direction. So if you need a one-off session, and if you're seeking my counsel because you have a confusion or an issue in your life and you wish to help, you seek help to gain an understanding of that, then you can connect with me for a one-off session. My mornings, my work day is your evenings in North America. So it's very good to connect with me and, after you've had your dinner and you've got that downtime to relax. Some people put their kids to bed and then they connect with me for a session. You can also connect with me for multiple sessions. I have a diploma in life coaching. I'm a qualified life coach. I'm registered with the International Complementary Therapists Association. And if you would like to have ongoing life coaching, you can connect with me and we can make that happen as well, set goals and go forward with your future. Seeking a solutions-based positive approach. And for people who are in Australia who are covered by the National Disability Insurance Scheme, you can also have life coaching put in your budget. So you can talk to me about having the NDIS cover your life coaching. So, connect with me on my website at katedwardsclairvoyant.com or connect with me on Facebook at Kat Edwards Life Coach and Spiritual Professional, or you can friend me on Facebook. I'm also on Instagram as well at katedwards33.6.
Thanks, Kat. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
We're going to close now, so I'd like you all to take a moment and close your eyes if you're comfortable doing that. Otherwise, just focus on a spot in the room And I'd like you to take some slow, deep breaths, breathing in to the count of five. Hold and release. Exhale to the count of five. And repeat that a couple more times. And now I'd like you to imagine yourself, if you can find a happy and joyous time from your childhood, reflect upon who you were at that point in your life. And if childhood doesn't feel safe to you, pick another point, because we all have times in our lives that feel joyful and free. And so pick a time like that. And now imagine yourself walking out of a cottage into a lush meadow, and you see a bunny rabbit running toward you, and you pause for a moment and you gaze in wonder at this joyous little creature. And then, using your imagination, you transform into the rabbit. You continue to scamper through the field, feeling completely free, completely safe, until you come to a corral where you see a horse, and suddenly you desire to be bigger and in a different form, and you transform into the horse. And you have such freedom now as you begin to gallop around the corral and into the fields beyond. And you come to the other end of the corral, and you see off in the distance a deer. It's just standing there watching you. And you transform into the deer. Gentle, doe, feeling completely safe, completely nurtured. And you wander into the forest, and you look up into the trees, and you see an eagle. And once again, you transform into the eagle. And then you fly off the branch, over the field, knowing no bounds, tied to the earth, just free as a bird. And you soar as you spread your wings and flap them and fly away. And then you see yourself down below, the little child, the person you were at the point when you felt such wonderful freedom and such joy, and you return to yourself and know that you have the power to overcome any obstacle, and that freedom is yours for the asking. And so when you're ready, open your eyes and come back to this time and this place, and know that you're perfectly safe, perfectly free to be whoever you desire to become. And so I leave you there with that thought. And thank you for joining us this week. We're on every Sunday night, Eastern Standard Time. We're still on daylight time, but Eastern time, 8 p.m. And in Australia, in Brisbane area where Kat is, we're on at 10 o'clock Monday morning. And please join us again next week. One of the topics will be making connections. And the following week, we'll be talking about surrender. And we'll come up with a paired topic for each of those topics. And thank you to Michelle and Laura for joining us tonight and suggesting topics. We hope you'll join us again. So good night, everybody.
Good night.